If you will, you can turn to First Thessalonians, chapter 4. And I know today is Easter Sunday, the resurrection, the day that we celebrate it here, but we as born again believers and as the ones that love the Lord and loves Christ, it should not be just once a year that we should love him because he loves us. But we need to remember the other 364 or 65 days a year. We need to remember he is the reason. He's the reason that I'm saved. He's the reason for the season. He's the reason for today. And everything that he does, and everything that we can do, he's the reason behind it. He's behind all of it. And I thank the Lord for that. But if you will, over here in 1 Thessalonians, I know this is familiar verses, but come on here. But I'm going to try to bring something out into it that maybe we had never brought out before. But which I know that this is the Sunday that we have set aside, like I said before, that we've set aside to where we can come and worship the Lord. And we shouldn't just do that one time a year either, or two times a year, his birth and his resurrection. We need to do it each and every day. We need to thank him for each and every day of it. But here in the scripture, I want to speak about two words. I want to speak about the rapture of the church, which we know the word rapture is nowhere in the Bible at all. But the Latin word for which it means is to catch up, a catching away. Now, catching away is saying that he finally caught me and he bought me through his precious blood. But not only that, without the birth of the Lord Jesus, without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we would have no way of salvation. We would have no way that where we could go to him or go to somebody and ask them to help us to where we can go to heaven. Because, see, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, if it wasn't for his resurrection, we would not even know anything about heaven. We really want to think about that. We would never know anything at all about heaven. We would not know anything, need to know anything else about the resurrection in the life that we can live, because you know yourself that the graves that's around and where they have the caskets in and the bodies is in there, been buried there, we know that there's also going to be a resurrection for them one day. But when is that resurrection going to take forth? It's going to take forth when the rapture takes forth, or they're catching away. Now, I just want to thank the good Lord for allowing Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart. You know, since of His birth, there were some events that had to take place. Some events had to take place before the resurrection, or before the first time anybody could get saved. There was events that had to take place. And we know that the church itself, the word church, and when the people gather together and we become one body, that's the church. That's speaking of the body of Christ. Now, we also know too that we would not even have ever met it, had ever met. Because why would I want, and to me, that's what doing other people, I mean, I wish they could hear. That's the reason they want to go to all these other churches, because they don't have to worry about God being there. They don't worry about the Holy Spirit convicting their soul, because He's not there. Well, if we ever have service down here and the Holy Spirit has never showed up, then something's wrong. Something is wrong with me, starting with me. Something is wrong with the congregation. You know what we need to have on our hearts? The most important thing that we need to have on our hearts, and what we need to be thinking about each and every day, first thing in the morning and last thing at night when we lay our heads down to go to sleep, is lost souls. We do not know how many lost souls that's out here, but we know that they are lost souls out here. I know that. But yet you go and you talk to people and you invite them to church. Oh yeah, I go to church. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Do you live a Christian life? Yeah, I live a Christian life. I mean, they know the words to say. They know the words to tell me to where, ain't need me going back, because it's going to be the same old thing again. But what the people don't realize is that people like me and you, the only thing we want to do is help them where they won't have to go through the struggles that we went through. We won't have to go through the heartaches that we went through. I noticed somebody said, I don't forget who it was, this morning said something about, talking about his brother. Said they didn't know if he was saved or not. We need to put him on the front burner for today. And you know how we do that? We just don't go to prayer and ask the Lord to touch him. No, we go to the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit to do what he has to do, that the individual will come to him and thank him for speaking to him and leading him to Jesus. If we don't have that within our minds as Christians and as born-again believers and as an independent, fundamental Baptist church, we don't have it within us, something is direly wrong with each one of us. Because each one of us should have a desire in our heart to see some lost soul to get saved. You say, well, preacher, I can't go and talk to them. Because I don't know scripture. I don't know how to quote scripture. I just don't know what to say. I didn't know what to say either the day that somebody introduced me to Jesus and told me I had an opportunity to be saved. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know if I was going to say it the right way. I didn't know if it was that I had to say an eloquent prayer or if I had to say the right words, anything like that. I didn't know anything about none of that. And it's just like my brother when he was down at Duke, when he was in ICU, and he was about ready to pass away. Me and my wife went down on a Saturday morning around lunchtime. When I got there, and when she got there with me, my mother and one of my other brothers was there back out with him. And since my mother was back out with him, I won't go back out and, let her to where she's going to have to come out. Because she needed to spend as much time as she could with him. And I believe that. But they come walking out from that room. And when they pulled the curtain open, when they come through the open doors there from the ICU unit, me and Shebel was there talking. I forgot, maybe I was talking to my other brother, I don't know. But they come out, and I just stood there because I didn't want to walk up to my mother because I didn't know how bad he was or anything like that. And I didn't want to allow her to grieve, no more than she already was. But my brother, he was about ready to ask me something that was back there with my mother. But my mother, she come up and she says, Donnie, she says, Darryl wants to see you. I said, well, okay. I said, well, I'm going to get Shelby. Me and Shelby, we can go back. And you can go back with us too. She says, no. That's not what he said. He wants you back out by yourself. When I walked in there, and before I went behind the curtain, where you could see him, I could hear him sobbing. I could hear him. For the first time in my life that I've ever heard him shed a tear. You know what the tear was about? What it was shed? He was scared to death. He was scared to death. He was scared of dying. And naturally, I think anybody and everybody, that's the human side of the individual that we have. Do we all have that? That we just don't want to die because it's something else that we can do better. We needed to do something for our family we haven't done. Or we need to do something more about correcting some problems that happened in the future. But there's other things that we have to do. True that is. It's not a day that don't go by that myself have not failed the Lord sometime at day. It's not a time that goes by. It's not a day that goes by that everything that I've done at day, I can lay my head down at night and I can say, Lord Jesus, I love you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to be your servant during that day. I can't say that. Why? It's because I know that I failed him. And if it's anybody ever said, comes up to you and says that they've never made a mistake, they've never sinned against God, ain't but one thing I can say is, you look around you and you find out where the fastest automobile that there is. And you go and you jump in it. And you ride off. And you leave that individual behind. Because anybody says that they've never sinned against God and they've never made a mistake in their life, that's two things. And both of them is mentioned lying. They lie to their own self. They don't care anything. That's the reason that they don't have no respect for people. Did you know the people today, they don't have no respect for one another no more? They don't have respect for their own selves. Because why? Because it's all about me and what I want. It's not about somebody else. It's not about my neighbor. It's not about the one that's across town that I know. It's not about them. That's the way we look at it. It's not about them. It's all about me. Oh, poor me. Patting yourself on the back again. Oh, pity me. Pity me. See, we wouldn't have to go through none of that. Well, we wouldn't, women. Yeah, we would. We'd probably go probably a whole lot deeper and a whole lot farther than that. If it wasn't for the resurrection. But really, what would happen? Just let's think about it for a minute. Without the rapture, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. What would we be thinking about? Not next, but what would we be thinking about if it wasn't for the resurrection? The catching away of the Lord and the rapture of the church. See, the church did not come on the scene until after the resurrection. That did not come on the scene until the book of Acts. But when it come on the scene, God says, this is my church. This is my church. And I've got some men that's the pillar of this church. And they're going to stand for the truth. What I've thought about so many different times, and as far as, you know, his 12 disciples, which he ended up with just 11, because one soul, you know, just sold him. But that was Judas, Iscariot. But what I myself could not understand And I know that God knew about it, because he knows everything's going to happen tomorrow. He knows everything's going to happen next week. He knows everything that's going to happen the rest of this year. He's going to know exactly what's going to happen in 2021, 2022. Anything beyond this point in life, he knows about it already. He knows who it's going to affect. And we have got to realize also that who it affects us too. It affects us if we go out and be a witness for him. It's going to affect me if I get up here and if I preach anything else besides Jesus Christ. If I preach anything else but being born again and washed in the blood. The saints, that's the first word, that's the first time I believe the word saints come up, was when this church was established. And how was the church established? It was established on the Word of God. Just like the United States, how it was established, how this country that we live in with freedom, how did it come about? God's Word. The old men that left England come over here, they was going through the same situation that we're going through today. But they was going back then. And that's been, what, by 400 years. But yet, where has man come from? Where has man got to today? Man has got to back to the point just like they did over there in England that them men saw was coming. We see the same thing today that's coming. Oh, yes, there's going to be people out here that's going to say, oh, Lord, you know, I visited people. I invited people to the church. And I done this and I done that. And I prophesied in your name. And I just was talking to people all the time. And the Lord, he just lets them keep going on. And how much more bragging they doing, I don't know. But the saddest word in the Bible, I believe, is over in Matthew chapter, I believe it's chapter 7. And it's speaking about that where the men and where the women of society today saying to themselves and to the people around them that look at what I've done. Didn't you see me out here last week? Out here visiting other people. Didn't you see me out here talking to somebody else? Did you see me do that? Lord, never. He didn't say nothing. He just let them go on and spill the beans. I mean, they thought they. I believe, honestly, at that time, the people thought that everything was going fine. Everything was going fine, and they was on the way to heaven. They was homeward bound. But when it finally got to them and to realize that they weren't homeward bound, it's when the Lord spoke up after they got through. And he says,
I don't know what you're talking about. Who'd you say you are?
I know ain't what the verse says, but basically that's what it's saying. It says, who do you say you are? Who did you say you went and visited? Who did you visit them for? Did you visit them for your wife? Because your wife asked you to? And that's when the Lord comes back. He says, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you on a personal basis. I never knew you. And how many people that we know today, we know personally ourselves today, and we speak to them and we talk to them probably every day. Look at how many people that's going to be facing the same thing. And they're going to be facing the hell that they have created. See, when it comes right down to it, we can say, and I know sometimes we've said, that when God created hell, he created hell for the non-believer. He didn't create hell for everybody. Matter of fact, I mean, I go as far as saying this, and I may be wrong, and if I am, forgive me. But I don't think God created hell. Because you know his son come along wayward. His son had come down through time. His son did not create hell. And why would the Father in heaven create hell? Why would he create hell? When the only thing that he wanted for the people, he wanted their fellowship. He wanted them to spend eternity with him in heaven. That's what God was all about. God doesn't want nothing about hell. God's nothing about nothing but heaven. And he's also nothing but about love. You know where the wrath of God come in at? It come in because of the people. Because of the people, the way that they're trying to serve him and what they want for their own lives. That's sad. It's real sad. It breaks my heart to where people, they just look at you. They tell you this and they'll tell you that. And they know that they're lying to you. And you also know that they're lying to you. The only reason they say the things that they do. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, I'm in church every Sunday too. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That pastor you got, I'll tell you one thing. Boy, he's straight along. He writes straight along by the Bible, the King James Version. He's straight along with God's Word and everything. And I don't see how anybody can sit under him and not be convicted. He said, I know it. I know it. Says he's a dear man of God. And he says, I love him so much because I know what he stands for and what he means. He said, he told me, he said, this past Sunday he preached. And he preached one of the greatest messages that I've ever heard him preach. And he still hadn't heard him preach. Why? Because the pastor of that church, the pastor that he was talking about was the same pastor I was talking about. That pastor had been gone for 3.5 years, retired, and was just filling in with another church. I mean, see, they think, and I know this ain't going to be good English, which I don't, you know, I mean, well, I read God's word. I mean, some of it here ain't good English, but it's English. I mean, what they translated it to. But you can tell you what. It don't make no difference. It don't make no difference what they believe. It don't make no difference where they're going. But what does make a difference is all the other people that they are going to carry with them. And the sad part about it all, and I know each one of y'all have heard people say it, says, that's okay. Says, when I get to hell, I'll be down there with my friends. I tell you what, you may have friends down there. You may have mama and you may have daddy down there. You may have brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles and everything, grandkids now. You may have them all down there. But they will not know anything about you, what you're going through. And you will not know anything about them and what they're going through. We need to think about what we're going to leave behind. What kind of testimony is Faith Baptist Church going to leave? What kind of testimony are you going to leave once we've gone? What kind of testimony am I going to leave once I'm gone home? Any other people may would speak to my wife about me, and I mean, here it is. I went on home and been home for a couple of years, something like that. I mean, yeah, they're gonna talk to her about me. They're gonna say, I sure am sorry I heard about him dying. Him passing away and everything. I said, I'm so sorry. I hope my wife tells him, don't be sorry for him. Because he's not sick. And he really wasn't sick before he left. Oh, yes, he had some aches and he had some pains. But she can also tell them that for the aches and pains that I went through, the aches and the pains that the body of Christ goes through, this church, Faith Baptist Church, and through the aches and pains of what each and every individual goes through, it's a blessing indescribed. It's a blessing for us to go through it. Why? So we can get the old time, the old fashioned power of prayer back in church. There is power. There's no other kind of power that there ever will be, ever is, than the power of prayer. If you don't want to have no power within his church when we don't pray. We don't pray at home about the church. We don't pray at home about the individuals that come to church. We don't pray much anymore. Why? We don't want the power of prayer. That's the reason we lack in praying. So just think about it. The next time that we go through the day and we don't pray, even myself, I'm saying to God right there, I said, God, I don't need your power. I don't need your power. But see, he had to face the resurrection. He had to go through all the pain, all the agony, and all and everything that we put on his shoulders. Put on his shoulders. Can you say to yourself now? Can you say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I put so much on you. But I do thank you for saving me. And Lord, I just still want to thank you for putting so much on you since I've been saved. I just want to live a better life. I want to live for you more every day. Not just this particular day. But my prayer is that tomorrow when I get up and when I walk to tomorrow or when I speak to people through tomorrow, that I can go to bed tomorrow night in thanking you for allowing me to speak to the people and talk to the people. I want to see people saved. I want to see this church. I want to see it grow. I want to see it grow for the glory of God. I want it to shine. I want it to shine so brightly so when the people comes over the hill there and we're right when they get to the stoplight, the Holy Spirit has already started speaking to them. Says, you know something? Right over the hill here, down on the right, as you coming over the hill, there's a church down there. I mean, there's a true church. There's a church that loves me and want to see me happy. We always ask the Lord to bless us. Who are we saying, Lord, can you do something for me today and make me happy? But yet we don't say, Lord, what can I do for you today? That's all he asked. He don't ask that much from us. We ask more from our own selves than what the Lord asked for. But we just need to be mindful that he is the one. He is the one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That right there is, that right there is the essence of this whole book. that one verse. Because see, you can't have the birth of the Lord Jesus without God the Father. And you cannot have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord without the Father. You need it all. We need it all. And I thank God every day for the resurrection. That one day, if my wife has to go and call a funeral home, and they have to go and place my body in a casket, and they place me in the ground. Thank God for one day, that resurrection, when the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he came forth, praise God, I'm going to come forth too. I'm gone, like the song said. I'm gone. Where am I going to? I'm going to heaven. Where am I going to? I'm going to be with Jesus. Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we ask, Father, you'll be with each one of us today. Father, we go to our respective homes this afternoon. We pray, Father, that, Lord, something in the message that, Father, that we may have said. Maybe it would mean just one little point. But, Father, help us, Lord, to just grab a hold of that little nugget there to where we can understand in what you're saying. And oh Father, help us, Lord, that this church will always stand on the word of God. Will always stand on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. Will always stand on the King James Bible. Father, we do thank you. Now, Lord, we ask you now, if you go with us to our homes this afternoon, Father, until the next time we come back, Father, help us that we may do something for you, to maybe make you a little bit happier. Because, see, Father, I know myself that if I can do something to make you happy, I know that you're not going to be the only one going to be happy. You will also do things in my life that I wasn't expecting. Father, help us all this week that we'll have a happy and a prosperous life. And yes, Father, if you place us in front of an individual that's not a Christian, that's not saved, Lord, we ask that you would just give us one or two special words, that if we say them words, that it would connect to the individual heart, and the individual can feel from what has touched our heart that they can say, you know, she cares about me. He cares about me. What must I do to have the same kind of caring in my own heart? What must I do? And yes, if we can be able to do it, maybe you say, no, I can't do it. I cannot be able to take and lead somebody to the Lord. I don't know the scripture. That's the thing about it. You don't need to know scripture. You don't need to know nothing. The only thing you need to do is tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them how Jesus saved your soul and how the Lord Jesus has took you on. And how the Lord Jesus has kept you has kept you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.